Welcome to Hear Hype, episode Lucky 13. I think that's how it works, right? Lucky 13. As always, I'm Marima.
And I'm Danya.
And this is our second Hear Hype in about 24 hours. We recorded our very first Hear Hype special edition this week, which was all about Avengers Age of Ultron. So if for whatever reason you are not subscribed to us on iTunes or you don't listen to us on iTunes, this is your cue to go over there and do that, and you will find that episode in the feed. Surprise. Surprise episode.
Yay.
Yeah. We did that actually as a joint episode with the hosts of Hypeable's Hype podcast, of which I am one, and some others and some special guests, and it was a fun time. And the start of it is all spoiler-free. So you can listen to that if you have not seen the film yet. And if you've seen it all, then you can listen all the way through. And if you're not into Avengers, you don't have to listen at all. Everyone wins. It's a nice little thing we're trying out. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Because we recorded that episode, we're not going to be talking about the Avengers on this episode. Because we'll never stop otherwise.
Very true.
Yeah.
And, Very true.
We got a lot of our thoughts out on that, so you can head over there to hear all about it. But instead, we've got some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. news. We've got more news on the weirdest spin-off to ever occur. We've got some trailers. A lot of trailers have come out since the last week in terms of movies. And then, of course, in our regular segments, we're giving you a brief history of Scarlet Witch. Very exciting. And over in Comic Corner, Deadpool. I think someone requested that. So there you go. Before we get to all of that, what have we been doing with TV lately? Are you up to date with everything? I have to say I haven't seen the most recent episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I was too busy watching Ultron, and also because Ward is like back and I don't want to deal with that yet. I thought I'll wait till I'm like feeling better about not being so busy, and then I'll sit down with the disgusting human being that is Grant Ward. But what about you?
Funnily enough, also didn't see the S.H.I.E.L.D. episode from this week, but did manage to catch Arrow and Flash.
Is that because you're watching a certain scene from Arrow on repeat? Like, I think some people will be after this.
Now, here's the thing. I kind of liked it, but I also kind of didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're talking about the sex scene, just... right?
Oh, yeah. We're definitely talking about the sex.
Just checking. I mean, there were a lot of things that I kind of liked and kind of didn't like in what's going on with Arrow recently. So, tell me. Well, let's talk a little bit about it because we've got a bit of news for this. Obviously, major character departure on Arrow. And which was on last week's episode. And this was, they teased this ages ago, didn't they? Remember they were filming and they were like, oh, it's hard to say goodbye to someone, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, there's confirmation now that Colton Haynes has left Arrow as a series regular. He could obviously pop up his guest appearances or whatever, because he was dead, but now he's not dead or like whatever. I don't know. Are you sad to see him go?
The thing is, I quite liked Roy's arc. Like, I kind of enjoyed him as a character. I'm not, like, sad in the way that I was sad about Sarah. You know? Mm-hmm. Because the thing is that it's really, really hard to get too upset about this because he's still alive.
Right.
Because there's still the opportunity for him to come back if he wants to. Whether that's in a guest role, whether that's on one of the crazy spin-offs, whether that's in Flash, you know, there's enough opportunity for him to like drop in and out. So I'm maybe a little bit disappointed at where we're losing him from the show in terms of like, I kind of liked how he played off some of the other characters. I was interested to see how he was starting to step up, how Oliver was starting to be a Duke Nu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of one of those things where I was just like, I'm mildly disappointed, but not devastated.
Yeah, I was never a big either. I was never a big Roy fan. Just those R's, man. I don't think Colton Haynes is a very good actor. I think that's really my problem. He's very, like, he has, like, one facial expression. that like very serious look, that intense look that he has. But I think that's just like his expression. So he just does that in everything. He's like, now it's we're like, going to fight.
But that's just his face.
I know, that's just his face. So I can't really blame him for that. But anyway, what I did not like on Arrow, and we had a really great article up on Hypeable by Caitlin, who has been on our show before, about too many women in refrigerators, which is that trope where like women become basically women are killed, or you know, various things happen to women to further the plot for the men around them. And I would totally agree with her that I think this has become it. It's always been an issue for Arrow, and I think we've talked about this before, but recently, like, this has just become ridiculous, and we saw it with Thea, especially, in the last couple episodes. I thought this is a really good article, so you can go over and read that, because otherwise, like, my rage will just intensify if I have to, like, go into this in detail. But, yeah, I'm not okay with what's going on Arrow at the moment, and I'm sure you probably feel the same, Donya.
Yeah, definitely feel the same. I am not too impressed with how they're treating the women in Arrow right now. And the thing is that it's kind of like, it's unnecessary. And it is literally just to further the plot. That's it. There's no other reason other than it's being used as a tool to just cause conflict and pain. Mm-hmm. It's not in any way earned through the story, as in it doesn't have any emotional impact. It's just one of those things where you're like, oh, really? Another woman? Are you freaking kidding me? It's kind of more infuriating than anything else at all. And it just doesn't work. It absolutely doesn't work. And it's not flying anymore for me. Like, in certain ways, like they get some of the female characters really, really right, but at the moment they're just getting it so wrong all the time, and it's just really, really frustrating me.
Yeah, and I think I may have mentioned my theory on Arrow before, which is that I don't think when they get it right, it's actually on purpose. I think it's accidental because it just changes every week. Like, oh, now there's a great character, and oh no, now she's dead, or like now she's in hospital, and now she's having some internal struggle that Oliver needs to save her from, etc., etc. I don't think that they're doing it intentionally. I just don't think they're thinking about it, which is just as bad. So yeah, and it's obviously just become a lot more noticeable with the Lazarus Pit storyline with Thea and everything that's going on there. What do we think about Oliver? Okay, can I ask a question? This is a stupid question, but I feel like they haven't explained to me sufficiently why Oliver can't just be like, okay, I'm in charge of the League of Assassins now, I'm disbanding it, and I'm going back to my life. Or like, all kill yourselves, and I'm going back to my life. Or like, you all now need to begin an undercover operation for the next like 75 years. And don't do anything until you hear from me next. And now I'm going back to my life. Like, why? They haven't explained that to me yet. Why he can't just be like, okay, why does it need to be this angsty whatever thing? Like, they haven't set it up enough for me, I don't think.
Agreed. Completely. It doesn't make any sense. This whole storyline as it's been going along, I'm just like, they're going, this makes no sense. It doesn't work for me at all, but I completely agree. There is absolutely no reason that they've given us for why Oliver just can't go and take over and just be like, yep, now you guys don't exist anymore. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
And kind of
Arrow click, out. Waltz. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
Pretty much. They haven't kind of set it up. They haven't given any kind of explanation for why that isn't an option. Like, there's nothing there. It's almost like this massive kind of looming question sort of thing, and they're just like not addressing it at all.
Yeah. Well, we'll see as we go forward. There's not many episodes left now for Arrow or The Flash. Obviously things are going on The Flash as well, but we might save that for next week. Talk about speaking of the weirdest spin-off, We did have a little bit more casting news just while we're on the theme of CW. Franz Dramé, I apologize if you're a Hero Hub listener, has been cast to play Jay Jackson, who is a former high school athlete, and he now works as an auto mechanic, but will come to have a surprising affiliation with the team at Star Labs. And I just, how does this exist? How does, like, any of this work together? I have no idea. This seems to be an original character, but, you know, that can always change going forward, as we know with these things. It's just so weird. We have Arthur Darvill, we have Katie Lutz, like, oh, I don't get it. But anyway, more exciting news. So I feel like that's it now. That they seem to have cast a lot of people.
Like, yeah, I think this was the final cast member that we were missing.
Yeah.
Out of, like, the mystery kind of cast list things, yeah, where they gave, like, the little paragraphs for it, and then they just didn't give much more information than that. But this was the last person that was due to be cast for it. So Captain Cold now has all of his friends.
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, I need to know, like, what this is called. I think that will tell me more about what it should be. I just don't even understand. Oh, so perplexed. So much perplexion over this. All right, let's talk about something we can get excited about. Or maybe not, maybe a little bittersweet. I don't know. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has a spin-off, as I think we talked about on our last episode. And now it seems like Bobby and Hunter are going to be the two characters who are transitioning over to head that. Obviously, this means we're probably going to lose them on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but they've also said that the spin-off is going to kind of jump off from some events that haven't happened yet in the season. So I guess things that happen in the finale, probably. But what do you think about this? Are you going to miss them?
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, I love Bobby a lot. And obviously you love Hunter. We know that. We've established
also Bobby.
That you love Hunter. Also Bobby,
yeah.
But I'm kind of actually cautiously optimistic about this. And the reason why is the way that they've set up Bobby and Hunter in S.H.I.E.L.D. and kind of moving forward feels a lot like what Clint and Bobby's relationship was like in the comic books. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like they're giving us that without putting Hawkeye into without actually putting Hawkeye into the comics.
Mm.
So it's kind of like really, really interesting that I'm still seeing kind of threads of that relationship. So for me, this is a fascinating spin-off to see if they play on that a little bit more and keep like pulling in those themes from the comics for how their relationship worked out. Because, you know, in the comic books, Bobby's ex-husband is Clint.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I see little bits of classic comic book Hawkeye in Hunter, which is probably why I kind of have, like, a very, very, very soft spot for him.
Yeah, I think that's why I really like their dynamic as well, for the exact reason that you just said. So, we will see. Obviously, a little bit of S.H.I.E.L.D. news. We know that this season is going to conclude. It's going to have a 2-hour finale. So plenty of time to set up that spin-off. Everything's wrapping up. I don't know. S.H.I.E.L.D. is like nuts at the moment as well. And I don't want to talk about it until I'm totally up to date. So I think for our next episode, maybe it will be just before the season finales for everything.
Yeah, it will.
So we might have a TV-themed kind of episode or something. We'll see how we go. For what's happening there. But so, you know, plenty of things happening. As always, you can let us know on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast what you think about all of these shows as you're watching them. We like some of you guys kind of live tweet at us as you're watching, which we appreciate. Keep that up. And then a little bit more TV news before we move on. Daredevil has been confirmed for season 2, unsurprisingly, but it's going to have new showrunners, which is concerning some people, myself included, because season 1 was so right, and why mess with that? But, you know, I'm sure it will be great.
I think it will be as well, because they are keeping the executive producer on. So Drew Goddard is going to stay as executive producer. So I'm not too concerned because he's going to be like kind of overseeing it and making sure that it kind of keeps the same kind of themes. But, you know, the credentials of the guys who are coming in to take over, actually kind of interested in how it will play in, especially, I don't know if you call it, is it Doug Petrie?
Petrie
is how you say it?
Yeah.
But he worked a lot on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So I don't know why, but in the back of my head, I'm wondering if that means that some of the female characters may start to come a little bit further into the, like, come a bit more into the forefront of the series again, if they're pulling in someone with credentials from that show, considering how female heavy it was.
Well, I mean, yes and no. Like, I'm Buffy's number one fan, but like, it had its issues. We talked about on our last episode that was sort of Daredevil themed, but they don't really have a choice except to expand out on the female characters in season two. So I think, like, regardless of who we get, we were always going to see that. But like, I see your point. And I we'll find out more as it goes on. We're not going to get it until next year, of course, because these weird 13-episode Netflix seasons. But that's fine. And then a little bit more sort of renewal news, or not renewal, but not cancellation. Seems that Constantine has not been cancelled, the showrunner has confirmed, because it was capped at 13 episodes. We still don't have confirmation of season two. Everyone was like, well, it was nice while it lasted. Like, that was it. And no, it seems like it definitely has not been officially cancelled. So that's exciting news for you.
Definitely exciting news for me. So what is happening is in the next week or so, NBC are going to be taking pictures for what is going to be on the slate for later this year and into next year and all of that. And basically, Constantine season two is being pitched again as a companion to Grimm. So it's still on the cards. It could still happen if they don't find... I think the most likely thing is that they don't find a better companion show for Grimm. If they don't find a better companion show, Constantine will probably get a season two. If something is pitched that seems to be a better fit for it, we're probably not going to get season two. And I guess a little bit to think about is probably that the Amazon UK streaming ratings will probably come into effect. But from today, all of the episodes are back up on NBC to stream for free. So if you want to give them a reason to keep it on the air, go and watch a couple of episodes on NBC. Great time to go and rewatch the show.
Yeah, there's Johnny's shameless plug for the week.
Please let me have season two of Constantine, please.
Well, it's looking more positive than it was, I don't know, 2 days ago. So we'll see. But we will keep you updated, of course, with that going forward. I think that's it for TV for this week. Obviously, we only recorded our last episode last week, so a little bit shorter in between. So not as much news to talk about. In honor of our Hero Hype special edition, Age of Ultron, our brief history segment is going to be all about the lovely Scarlet Witch, brand new character played by Elizabeth Olsen. This is a section where we tell you everything you need to know about a character so that you are up to date for seeing them on screen.
Everything about you just became so unbelievably clear.
Take it away, Danya.
Wanda Maximoff is a mutant with reality warping abilities and is the daughter of Magneto and his late wife Magda. Wanda was born at Mount Wondergore along with her twin brother Pietro, and the mystical properties of the mountain her magical abilities beyond her mutation. After Magda fled from fear of Magneto's mutation, the twins were eventually placed in the care of Romani couple called Django and Maria Maximoff. They were separated from their family as teenagers when they were attacked and chose to take care of themselves from that point on. Wanda and Pietro were later recruited into Magneto's Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, where they became known as the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver respectively, and repeatedly came up against the X-Men. Wanda was never certain of her place within the Brotherhood, and not knowing their relationship with Magneto, the twins left after he was captured by the Stranger. The twins later joined the Avengers alongside Captain America and Hawkeye after some of the founding members went on leave of absence. Wanda fell in love with the Vision during her time on the team, and then they eventually married.
Well, there we go. So now you know everything you need to know before you see Avengers Age of Ultron. Or maybe if you've seen it, you just wanted a little bit more backstory for why she is the best. Now you know. So yeah. If you have a character you want to know more about, you can ask us and we will tell you. Just ask us on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast or in the comments on this post on hyperbull.com. We are always happy to take your suggestions.
Yes.
Okay, movie news now. I think we should start with trailers. I think we should probably start with this little film. You may have heard of it. A little indie film coming out starring Ben Affleck. I'm not sure how you say his name. Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. Yeah. This leaked. Then we got the HD trailer. What do you think of it? I think you should start because I have too many thoughts.
I'm a little conflicted. I'm not too into, and the thing with, this is the same thing with all DC movies pretty much. It feels a little too gritty and too dark for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes I feel like it needs to step away from that a little bit because it's almost like they're kind of their comfort zone almost, and they don't tend to push the box enough. However, I'm very, very intrigued by the theme of them kind of almost rejecting Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm interested in how they're going to play that. So I'm a little conflicted in that I'm just not too convinced yet. But I think that there's at least some good themes coming through that I guess I can remain a little bit hopeful for.
Yeah, this is my issue with DC films in general, and like I really, really enjoyed Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy, but those films are just as ridiculous as Marvel films are, and you cannot convince me otherwise. And what I don't like about this, you know, arbitrary like, oh, DC versus Marvel thing that goes on is, for whatever reason, Marvel is the silly films and DC are like the serious, really good films, you know, they're the quality films. No, this trailer is so ridiculous. Like, the end of this is terrible, the first line that we have of Batman. The whole thing is just, like, it's so over the top. It's, like, I kind of think they buy into their own hype a little bit about, like, oh, we're gritty and we're realistic. Like, all right, calm down, DC. So, I don't know. And, you know, as soon as this came out, everyone was like, these are the movies that I wish people would watch. Like, this is a real superhero movie. This is great. It's, like, why? Because their color palette is gray and black. Like, does not a good film make. So yeah, I just thought, I don't know, I haven't really been on board with this concept from the start. I just thought it seemed so like gimmicky, Batman versus Superman, and it seems like that's really where it's going. It's really Batman versus Superman, or like everyone versus Superman is possibly more accurate. But I don't buy into it. And I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, I'll totally watch it and I'll enjoy it, but it's just as ridiculous, it's just as camp as the Marvel movies are, just in a different way, you know? And like,
yeah,
making it rain and just so dark that you have to like squint at the screen to even see what's going on, like, doesn't change that. That doesn't actually alter the quality of the film. I'm sorry to break that to people, but a lot of people are really excited about it. I don't know.
I'm also not too convinced about the Batman voice.
No, isn't it terrible? Like I thought Christian Bale's was pretty bad, but this is so bad.
I think it's kind of like him trying to almost mimic the Christian Bale voice a little bit.
It sounds
just
like that.
It falling a bit flat. Like I'm not convinced about that at all. I'm hoping that maybe after a little bit more sound editing or a little bit more polishing up, it's going to sound better, because right now in the trailer, it just, I kind of laughed, I will admit.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on it as more comes. Another trailer that we got this week, the new Fantastic Four trailer. We got the first look at the film's villain. This was probably the first, like, substantially different trailer that we've had compared to the other ones. Honestly, like, the first time I watched this, I was like, eh, like, more Fantastic Four. It's fun to hate on Fantastic Four because, like, no one actually really enjoys it. But I just watched it again, and it's not, like, it's not great, but it's not terrible, you know? Like, it's, I can understand why someone would watch this and think, yeah, I will go and see this movie. And, you know, I really don't like Miles Teller, so I find that very off-putting just in general. But I don't think it was as bad as a Batman versus Superman trailer.
You may be side-eyeing me through the internet right now, Marima, but this trailer actually made me a little bit excited for Fantastic Four.
Oh, well, tell us why. Convince me.
Well, it started focusing on exactly what I wanted all of the trailers before this one to focus on. The relationships between the characters, opening up a little bit to find out how they interact and how they are connected with each other, a little bit about the family stuff. Like, it is so interesting that Sue is the one who's adopted. That's so interesting that it's like the reverse of what is expected. Like, they're doing some really, really cool things with this, and actually, I really like the look of Doctor Doom as well.
I thought he
looked. Oh, really? I thought it was really interesting. And the thing as well is that it had a couple of like notes of comedy that I was like, okay, they're hitting some really good cues here, and I'm actually looking forward to this now. Like, this trailer may have completely flipped my perception of what I thought the movie was going to be, which initially I thought it was just going to be a little bit of ridiculous action stupidity that was very much going to be exactly the same as the previous one. But I think they've changed it up enough to make it interesting.
Yeah, I think what they did successfully in this trailer that they had not done previously is make you give you a reason for why you should see this if you have seen the previous movies, and whether you liked them or didn't like them. Like, there was nothing really in the promotional material or anything that we've seen prior to this that was like, well, why do I want to see this? Like, didn't I see this exact same movie a few years ago? So yeah, I kind of wish this was the trailer they had released at the start. But, you know, we got there eventually, so who knows? But yeah, I might go and see this. I don't know. I'm not committing myself to it yet. It's, you know, I'm still thinking through, but I wouldn't say this is absolutely not after seeing this trailer. So that's an improvement.
Yeah, this is the trailer that made me go, okay, I'm going to go and see it probably within the first week of it being released.
Whoa.
I still, Age of Ultron... I did the midnight showing. I'm not built for doing midnight showings anymore. I'm still sleep. I'm still completely exhausted after doing one midnight showing. So I'm not sure I'm going to do any more, but I definitely will see this, if not on the first day it comes out, but definitely within the first week. It piqued my interest that much that I think this is going to be one for me to go and see, which I was not expecting. So I'm pleasantly surprised at myself.
Very exciting. Okay, and what else do you want to talk about? I guess so. There's some Spider-Man news this week. I think you basically summed it up. But, you know, more rumors, more, like, hints, whatever. Apparently there are 5 actors who are in testing for Peter Parker. And it looks like we've got Nat Wolff, we've got Asa Butterfield, who seemed to be the top of the list, then Liam James, Tom Holland, and Timothy Chalamet. I don't know who he is.
I don't know. I basically saw this come
Interstellar.
Yeah. I saw this post come across my Twitter feed while I was waiting to go in for Age of Ultron, and I had to look at the image three times before I realized they weren't all the same person, just in different, like, splices. I was just like, they're going, no. This is just, it's just not interesting to me. None of them jump out as someone who could be Peter Parker. In fact, I think I've talked about this before, in that I think it is time for Marvel to take Peter Parker back to the place that he was in when Peter Parker originally came out. And Stan Lee's vision for Spider-Man and Peter Parker was that Peter Parker was a social outcast. And the thing is now is that the geek boy, the kind of that sort of person, is not the outcast anymore. That has flipped around and become the cool thing to be now. This time, this place that we are in right now is the age of the nerd, essentially. We are at that place. So they now need to think outside of that very narrow box, that, like, that narrow view that they've got of what an outcast is, this nerdy kind of white boy thing. That is not, that's not where it needs to be anymore. So I kind of want them to bring it back to the core of who Peter Parker really is and update it. If we're going to need Peter Parker again, then I want them to really, really look at the heart of the character and do that, and whatever that means for it, if it's outside of this very narrow-minded, white and nerdy kind of thing, then more power to them. But at the moment, I'm not convinced.
Yeah, and it's also one of those things where, you know, if they did cast Peter Parker as, say, not white, like, for example, I'm sure everyone would be up in arms about it, because, oh, like, you're changing the character from the comics, and, you know, that's not what he looked like in the comics, and you don't have to change it just for, like, political correctness and etc. As you said, like, by not doing that, you are changing the character from the comics. You're changing their experience of the world. Like, no matter how nerdy you are, your experience as, like, a white, attractive, like, white dude, which all of these boys are, you know, is not going to be the same as someone who is, like, genuinely marginalized in society. Like, it doesn't matter, oh, how much you talk about comics at school and whatever. Like, it's not applicable. So,
yeah,
it's frustrating. And everyone's saying that Nat Wolff seems to be the front runner, which I just think is a terrible choice, personally. Not that I dislike Nat Wolff. I actually really like him in, like, everything he's done. In, what's he done? Stuck in Love, I really liked that. I thought he was a standout in Fault in Our Stars. He looks like he's going to be really good in Paper Towns. I just think he would be such a bad choice for Spider-Man. Just, yeah. I don't want to watch that.
I don't particularly think any of them are a good choice. And it's not necessarily even down to them being white boys either. Like, that's not the crux of my issue here. My issue also being is that I don't think, from what I've seen from each of them, that they, even if they are stuck in their ways and they want to stick with white and nerdy, I don't think any of these actors are quite the right fit. Like, none of them jump out at me as being, like, Peter Parker.
Is that because you want Dylan O'Brien?
No, not even necessarily for it to be...
Just kidding.
Yeah, not even necessarily for that. I think, like, reflecting back on that, I think maybe Dylan might be a little too old as well, like, for what they're going for. But I don't know. I don't know anymore. I'm very, very conflicted about this whole thing, and I'm kind of in my head getting really petulant about, like, who Peter Parker really is and what this could mean for basically superhero films. And at the moment, it's just every time I see a news story, I'm just like, oh, do you know what? I'm done with it. I'm so done.
Yeah.
With Spider-Man. It was hyped up so much to get it back into Marvel, and now I'm just like, okay, we've got it back to Marvel. There's more. There's like more opportunity to really play with this and really push this into a place where it's going to be interesting and new and fresh and really reinvent this character. And they're just not taking the opportunity. And it is just, I'm just getting so mad about it. And the thing is that right now I just want to go, do you know what? Not going to pay attention to any Spider-Man stuff anymore because it's just going to ruin things for me. And I think I just need to leave it for a bit and just be like, okay, I'm stepping away from all the Spider-Man for a bit. I'm going to pretend that none of this is actually happening because otherwise I'm just going to keep getting myself worked up.
All right, well, you can step away from it in one more story's time because there's an animated Spider-Man film that's been announced from the creators of the Lego Movie. And this is coming out in July 2018, taking Spider-Man back to his graphic roots. And it's going to be, like, existing independently. So, you know, in a separate universe, obviously, from the live-action Spider-Man universe. You know, I mean, the Lego Movie was a fun movie. So, all right. But Spider-Man is so annoying at the moment. So... But I do really like animated movies, so I'm, you know, a little torn on this, I have to say. I'll probably see this. Maybe this is what Spider-Man needs, like something just totally different and separate.
We'll see.
So, yes, we will be keeping an eye on all of that, of course, going forward. And next week there'll be 14 new rumors about Spider-Man, and it'll all be different again. So,
do you know what I'm surprised about? That there hasn't been Idris Elba Spider-Man rumor yet.
Oh, God.
Because everyone seems to, like, whenever there's, like, a role has come up, like, James Bond or pretty much anything, everyone's like, oh, Idris Elba for insert role that's coming up here. Not to, like, say anything against Idris Elba, I just think it's absolutely hilarious and really, really amusing that, like, his name just gets thrown in with everything. So, Idris Elba for Spider-Man.
Yeah, that would be great. Okay, what else do we have for movie news this week? We had a whole lot of Marvel clips. We had a new Ant-Man clip. We had a whole lot of Age of Ultron clips. Like, these just keep coming up until the US release. We're not going to talk about all of these. You guys can go and watch them. And, you know, you can listen to our show all about it, which is super exciting. Yes. But on the Marvel train, Elizabeth Olsen has confirmed that she will be in Captain America Civil War. Oh, I'm sorry, Avengers 2.5. She's going to start shooting in a couple weeks. So, yeah, literally every Avenger is in this movie. It's just ridiculous. And I can't even talk about it because it makes me furious. And Black Widow movie, maybe. We've been told... Once again, like, this is just the same thing. It's not really a new story, let's be real. But it's just the same thing that we're always told, which is, like, we've talked about it. Of course we've talked about it. And, yeah, maybe, like, I could be interested in it. And, like, oh, all right, great, thank you. So, yeah, it's anything you want to say on either of those? Yeah.
It's probably not going to happen. No. Like, they're going to keep dangling this in front of us for an eternity. And they are never... ever going to do it. And that's the thing that really winds me up about this story coming round and round and kind of being like pushed to the forefront again, is that they're kind of doing it as a, oh, don't leave us, we may do a Black Widow movie, it's entirely possible, stay with us. And then it'll never materialize, and it feels like a really cheap move. For me, on Marvel's part, like, it kind of feels like that they're a little bit better than that. They should just be upfront and honest with us, because, fine, okay, I understand they may be talking about it in the background. They may have considered it at one point. Do I think now is the right time for them to be pushing for a Black Widow movie? You know what? It probably should have come a little bit earlier than this. It definitely should have come earlier than this, in fact. But, you know, the place that it would fit in best would be between probably Age of Ultron and Civil War. Like, where Ant-Man is, that's mm-hmm. where a Black Widow movie for me would have fit in best. And the thing is that's not gonna happen. And by the time we get like all of the rest of the movies in the Marvel slate out of the way, you know, think about how far out we would be before Marvel could, as they keep saying, feasibly fit in one of these movies.
Yeah, well, you know, let's remember we're waiting until 2018 for Captain Marvel, which, you know, we were asking for literally years. So, yeah, that's not going to happen. But speaking of Captain Marvel, there is a little bit of news on that front. Apparently, Marvel wants Angelina Jolie to direct, which is a terrible idea. I think last week you gave us your grand theory of director, so I'm still on board with Kathryn Bigelow. I feel like that would be such a wonderful choice. Angelina Jolie, like, she's fine, and I've seen a couple of her movies, and, like, they're all right, but she hasn't proven in any way that she could do something on this scale or, like, dealing with these issues. And I don't want them to turn it into Angelina Jolie's Captain Marvel. Like, I feel like that's really the selling point of this, is being able to put her name in huge writing on a poster.
I'm just not... I don't know. Kathryn Bigelow, I think, would be a better choice because... like I said last time, it's like a war movie background that would probably be required to, like, get the most out of this film. So, you know, Kathryn Bigelow would be... I think Kathryn Bigelow is the obvious choice. I think the Soska sisters would be pretty good, too. They are currently in the running for a film called Painkiller Jane, though.
Mm.
So, but they are huge fans of, like, comic books. So I feel like they would treat it with the care and stuff that it deserves. So I'm trying to think of who else I'd like to see. Who else would be really, really, really
Michelle
good?
Michelle McLaren.
Who was the one who was originally... crap, I'm trying to remember her name. She was tapped to direct Thor 2 originally, and she...
oh, it's Patty Jenkins. She's doing Wonder Woman now.
Oh, God, yeah, she is.
Yeah, so that was some other news we had this week. Michelle McLaren, as we talked about last week, dropped out of Wonder Woman because of creative differences. And as you just mentioned, they have instead hired Patty Jenkins, who dropped out of directing Thor 2 because of creative differences with Marvel. So, yeah, funny about that. It was within, like, 48 hours that this was announced, so they must have... that was a very quick turnaround. But
damn, she would have been so good for Captain Marvel.
Yeah, well, she's tied up, so...
yeah, I know. God damn it. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, we keep an eye on these things as always. That's kind of it for major news this week. We also had some Batman versus Superman posters which released, which I enjoy. The posters are nice. Posters are nicer than the trailer, I think.
The posters are really cool.
Yeah, we had another look at Jared Leto with his green hair to play the Joker in Suicide Squad. And Chris Evans and Jeremy Renner did a terrible interview that makes me want to punch walls. So we probably don't need to discuss that. And Jeremy Renner's apology makes me want to punch everything. So apology. Yeah. Good one, Hawkeye. Yeah.
I think, what was I saying? I was saying to someone that I think Chris Evans's mother is like a huge proponent for like women's rights, and she's like a notorious like feminist, and I would not doubt that basically she saw the interview and basically just looked at him and he was like, "I'm sorry, Mom."
Yeah. Well, anyway.
But the thing of it is that I feel like Chris Evans's apology at least felt sincere, that he actually did regret what he said. And the thing is I understand this press tour has probably been really difficult on all of them. It has been incredibly stressful and full on. It doesn't excuse them, but if they slip up, something like an apology should be sincere and not, sorry, I got caught and you were offended.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's all I'm going to say on it.
We'll put it this way. Chris Evans apologized and Jeremy Renner released a statement. So, yeah, I think that basically covers it. And we can't talk about this anymore because my head will explode.
Yeah, but the fun is that Jeremy Renner released the statement through his agent, whereas the Chris Evans apology came directly from Chris Evans, apparently.
Yeah. Well, I mean, neither of them should have said it in the first place. I'm not, like, lauding Chris Evans over anyone, but at least he has done the professional, like, right thing by actually issuing an apology for this. That's at least sounds sincere. And, dude, you're an actor. Like, you should be able to make something sound sincere. So if you're not, you're going out of your way to do that. Anyway, let's move on. That's it for news before Marma goes crazy about this story. And you can let us know, of course, all your thoughts on all of these stories we talked about. And now it's time for our quotes of the week.
Oh my God, you ever shut up, pal?
No, not when I'm awake.
Donya, what is your quote of the week? What was your standout moment?
Mine was this absolutely ridiculous line that Felicity said when she was oversharing about describing Ray. And she was like, it's kind of like I'm dating Barry, but in Oliver's body, a sentence you'll never repeat to anyone. I was like, they're going, really? Really? That's kind of ridiculous. I can't remember who I said to that at this point I've kind of hit the like point in my life where I just want Felicity to jump over to the Flash and actually just start dating Barry for real.
Me too. Because
I'm done with all of this dancing around everything. And I actually really love the chemistry between Barry and Felicity. They're a really nice match.
Yeah, and I love seeing her with the Star Labs people.
Yeah. So at the moment, I kind of think I want Felicity to, after all of this Oliver drama and Oliver being a complete and utter idiot, for her to just take some time and just jump over to the Flash for a little bit and basically end up maybe being with Barry for a little bit, because I kind of like that. I think I'd enjoy that.
I don't even want to see her date Barry. I want to see her like be single and be okay with that because she seems to have like been jumping around a little bit. And I would like to see like solo Felicity, but I just like their friendship. I just like them hanging out. Yeah. It seems a lot more positive than like what's going on with Oliver right now. And yeah, I really enjoy her in Star Labs. I like her with Cisco and with Caitlin. They're a fun little team. Especially because Arrow is so, like, down and depressing. And Flash is like, we're the weirdest show on TV. Like, let's embrace it. So, that quote did make me laugh. In honor of our brief history segment, I have to give my quote of the week to Scarlet Witch, but I can't say it because it's a spoiler. I'm pretty sure it hasn't been in any clips yet. My quote of the week, if you have seen Age of Ultron, goes to the scene where the twins are explaining something that happened to them when they lost their parents and some of their reasoning for things. And Quicksilver's like explaining. And then Scarlet Witch has this amazing line at the end of it that I won't say because you should hear her say it. It's really good. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I know exactly which one you're talking about. And
see, if you've seen the movie, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you haven't seen it, no spoilers. Don't say I don't do anything for you. Okay, and before we wrap up, of course, our final regular segment, Comic Corner, where we give you suggestions for comic books to get you started in the world of comics based on a character that you are enjoying.
Sky, Drip, get ready for a large file transfer.
How large?
This week, it is all about a certain Deadpool. You may have heard of him because he's the best. Take it away.
Okay, so the first issue that I have got for you is called Deadpool Classic Volume 1. For anyone new to Deadpool, this is probably the best place to start. This trade includes Wade's very first comic appearance. And while it isn't anything groundbreaking in terms of the story, it gives you the essential setup for the character, some of his first interactions with Cable, which will become important a little bit later on this list. The second one I've got is Deadpool, the Joe Kelly Omnibus. This is probably considered the character-defining run of Deadpool by most Deadpool fans. But this omnibus comes with a pretty hefty price tag. I think it's about $80-something, but it is worth every last one. It's essential reading for any Deadpool fan and is filled to the brim with energetic action, strong character moments, and some seriously emotional scenes. The next one I've got is Deadpool Classic Volume 9. This is Gail Simone's run on Deadpool, and she took him on with a hysterical and gorgeous flair. It was an absolute blast from cover to cover. It doesn't have as much emotional depth as some of the other titles, but it more than makes up for it with the comedy, the stunning visuals, and some phenomenal character dynamics. The next one is Cable and Deadpool. So remember when I said Cable was going to be important? This run is absolutely fantastic, and each arc is a triumph. It seriously has everything you could want in a Deadpool story. Strikes the perfect balance between comedy and heart, and Deadpool's complicated relationship with Cable leads to some great character-driven scenes. And the last one is Deadpool Volume 3, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. This is probably one of the most gripping and emotionally driven Deadpool stories you will ever read. If you can spare the cash, I'd recommend getting the volumes prior to this one, just for the superb build-up that it has. But this is the must-own volume of Duggan and Posen's run. It's dark, twisted, completely engrossing. And it may be the last spot on this list, but is probably the highest recommended. So do yourself a favor if you love Deadpool, check this out.
All right, there you go. You've got your reading list. Read some, report back. Let us know if you try them out. We would love to hear from you guys. Okay, feedback time. Last time we asked you, what Fillmore TV show would you like to hear a Hero Hype special edition episode about, because we announced them. And Priscilla said, in response to our Daredevil episode, love the episode as well as the special guest. Thank you, Marama, for making the Foggy Hunger Games connection. You're welcome, Priscilla. How about a special episode on the first Captain America movie? I feel it's underrated since the second one was so great. All thought because Tom Hiddleston. And I can agree with both of those suggestions. I don't think it needs to be like an either or for Captain America. Why not do both? So,
yeah,
if you have a film or a TV show, can be something that's already come out or can be something that's coming up that you'd really like to hear a themed episode about once it hits cinemas, let us know on Twitter, Hero Hype Podcast. Let us know in the comments on Hyperbole. Because we want to start doing these like reasonably regularly. And we have fun talking about stuff, and hopefully you guys will enjoy listening to it. And I want to go and watch Tom Hiddleston again, so I'm up for that.
I'm kind of up for the first Captain America movie, both. So, you know.
Both.
Both is good. The thing with these is that, you know, we could also double these up as a Hero Hype rewatches as well. So if it's a film, we could probably, you know, give a couple of live tweets of our reactions as we're watching it, and then go really in depth with our special edition. So we could give you twice the amount of interaction. You'll get sick of us.
So many options. And then other feedback, Danny said, is it just me or is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. the feelsiest show on TV? That Melinda May episode, hashtag I'm not crying, my eyes are sweating. Yeah, Danny, you're so right. That Melinda episode was crazy good. And I actually want to rewatch that before I watch this Ward episode, because I think I'll need it to, like, just get myself ready. And then I'll probably rewatch it again just to, like, wash the taste of disgusting Ward out of my mouth. So, yeah, that was a great episode.
It was so good. I think it may be one of... Yeah, I think it may be one of their best episodes yet.
Yeah, I think that's totally justified. And then Amalia said, great episode about our Daredevil show. I'm not watching Daredevil due to issues with on-screen violence. I would say Arrow is about as much as I can take. Good decision. How much will I miss in terms of the larger Marvel Cinematic Universe? From what I'm hearing, the other Netflix series also risk being pretty brutal. What do you think? I watch the movies and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. religiously, so I'm worried about missing references and elements of the overall Marvel Cinematic story. That's a really good question. I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, Daredevil is really violent and very gory. So if you're not into that, I can definitely see why you would stay away from it. Because, yeah, as you probably gained from listening to our episode, lots of violence and not like kind of Arrow level violence, like real violence. It's kind of gross at times. In terms of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I don't know what I liked about Daredevil was I felt like it was reasonably separate from what else was going on because it was so insular to this like one neighborhood and this one guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you would agree with that, Dee.
Yeah, actually, I would pretty much agree with that. It has some nice nods to the cinematic universe, like the wider one. It brings in a couple of little things into it that it just references really lightly without getting too tangled up in it, without shoehorning too much in. So in terms of Daredevil fitting into like the rest of the universe, not sure that they're going to go that way around. There's no way of really knowing. As far as the violence kind of, or the brutality kind of seeping over into the other Netflix shows, I think for the rest of them, it's probably not going to be as violent. It's very unlikely to be as violent as Daredevil, because the comic books themselves, I think Daredevil's probably one of the more violent ones that Marvel has going for them. So I think probably, especially for like AKA Jessica Jones, you'll probably be okay. However, if you are worried, I will probably be, you know, bulk watching that straight the way through as soon as it comes out. I will probably book a day off for that one, as long as I'm not moving house again. And if you are really worried about how violent it might be, I'm more than happy to be your kind of test for it. So whenever it comes out, hit me up on Twitter, or I'll hit you up and I'll test it for you. I'll let you know if you're not too good with violence.
Yeah, I think we'll both be watching that. So yeah, you can tweet us at Hero Hype and Hero Hype Podcast, and we will let you know. I think Netflix shows are likely to be like, they're going to relate more to each other than they relate to the broader films and even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. For now, it seems like that's the way that it's going. So, if you watch, for example, AKA Jessica Jones, and you haven't watched Daredevil, like, you might miss a couple references to that. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be an issue where like you're watching the films and you can't understand what's going on because you haven't watched Daredevil. That said, like, Daredevil is really, really good. And, you know, I don't want to highlight the violence too much. It's obviously an aspect of it, but like, it's really worth it. So if you feel like you could maybe watch it in like smaller goes or something, and then watch like lots of fluffy flash episodes in between or something, then I would recommend it. But I totally understand if like that's just not your thing. But yeah, hopefully some of the other Netflix shows will be more suitable for you. And then we also have a little update on our Hawkeye competition. We asked you guys to tweet us your best Hawk lies, and that is not my joke. I have to give credit to Gordon because that was a great joke. Outrageous lies about what Hawkeye has been up to in either before or after Age of Ultron, or like what's going on with him in Age of Ultron. You can tweet these to us when you've seen the film, when you haven't seen the film. It doesn't matter, but we're taking submissions all the way up until it's released in the States. Is that right, Danya?
Yep, that is right. I actually have my hands on the poster, which I got when I went to see Age of Ultron. And when I'm in a more presentable state, I will put up a photograph of me holding the poster so you can get the general idea of the size of it against, like, me, and you can see a little bit of what you could win. The quality of, yeah, not me. The quality of the posters is amazing. Like, usually they give out at the IMAX screenings, like the really, really thin kind of glossy paper kind of ones. This time round, it's a thicker cardstock that is, it's really, really beautiful, really, really good quality. For whoever wins it, I will be putting it in a really, really nice, like, flat thing to ship it out. I'm not going to be curling this up because it's too thick to curl up. It is really nice quality. So get your Hawkeyes in, because it is well worth winning. Trust me, I was very impressed when I got to see these posters in person.
So that's exciting. My contribution to the competition was the post-credit scene is a Clint Barton 2016 presidential ad. So those are the kinds of ridiculous things that you can tweet us. I think we've had some entries already. Danya, why don't you read those to give people an idea of, like, the kinds of things that are ridiculous enough that will enter you into the competition for this awesome poster?
So Gordon gave us two. One of them he basically called Ultron Hawkeyes. The after credit scene is Clint tilling the land in rough jeans and distressed flannel, hashtag his hawkiness. And his other one was Hawkeye wasn't in the Winter Soldier because he was having tempestuous love affairs with Hillary and Bill, hashtag Clint on, hashtag Clint off.
Nice.
That one actually is a little bit traumatizing. Do you want to take Shelby's or should I do Shelby's?
Oh, I think you deserve the honor.
Okay, so Shelby also said, since New York, Clint's been off killing witches with his sister Gretel because S.H.I.E.L.D.'s doing nothing about them.
Yes, solid reference to Jeremy Renner's IMDb page there.
Yeah, and the other one was Thor's side quest is really just him trying finding out where Clint's been this whole time.
Yeah, that also makes just as much sense as what happened in the film. So anyway, if you want a chance to win this very cool poster that Danya will personally send out to you with, I don't know, maybe some, like, other fun stuff we'll put in there, we'll see. Depends how organized we are. You can tweet us your hashtag Hawkeyes. Quality joke from Gordon once again. I'm so sad I didn't think of that. I just don't even deserve to be on this podcast anymore. And yeah, we're gonna choose our favorites and we'll send you out a poster. It's a good time. So Danya, what is our question of the week? What do we want to know from people this week?
So in honor of the cast for Captain Cold and Friends finally being finalized, if you could put together your ultimate superhero team, who would be on it?
Oh, good question. Who would be on yours?
Hawkeye.
I mean, you said a team. You can't just name one person.
Both Hawkeyes, Kate and Clint. No, I'd probably have Steve.
Yeah.
Probably Scarlet Witch. Hawkeye. Oh my god, I'm literally just naming, like,
creating the Avengers.
The second. Yeah, I'm basically creating, like, the second, like, wave of Avengers there. Yeah,
someone's done that already. You're plagiarizing now.
I'm like, yeah, I don't mean in, like, the movie.
No.
By the way, that wasn't an Age of Ultron spoiler. I mean in the comic books.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you've plagiarized. I mean, obviously, Sarah Lance is on my team because
yes,
she's the best, and then she's not dead. Captain Cold would definitely be on my team just for puns. He'd be there for puns and lols. And
I'm sorry, I think this is also plagiarizing a little bit. Isn't that, like,
yet
two of the members?
I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished. Then I would have The Flash, obviously, can solve all problems. Captain America for eye candy, for sure. We would have Black Widow because she's the best, and Scarlet Witch because she's the best, and Captain Marvel, who doesn't exist yet. Basically just lots of ladies plus Captain America for eye candy. I think that's my list. And Captain Cold for lols.
Oh, Miss Marvel. I would have Kamala Khan on my team as well.
I'm having both. Both marbles. You can't stop me. So, I don't know. I'm going to think about this a little more. I might tweet it out once I've nailed it down. Because basically my answer is, I just want everyone who's fun to be on a team of like 45 people. Which doesn't seem like it would be very conducive to actually solving any problems. So let us know who you would put on your superhero team. And we'll get back to you.
Yeah, but having like 45 people on the team would be good, because then you can do a rotating roster.
True.
And depending on the villain of the week or the threat or whatever, you could just pick and choose like who would be the strongest against that one. So having a massive roster of superheroes to kind of rotate around would be good, and then none of them would get tired,
and then everyone could have like time for sick leave and stuff, and I think that's important, like days off, you know, if they needed to like just have a rest day or something, they wanted to like take some vacation time, that's fine, it's not impeding on the team. I think I could be onto something here. Avengers Infinity War. 45 Avengers on the poster. So let us know your answer. As always, we are on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast. We are on hypeable.com. You can leave us a comment in this post. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with all of the new news. And we'll be talking probably a lot more about TV, because we'll be leading up to the finales. If there is a new story that you would really like to hear us talk about, just let us know and we'll have a chat about it. No big deal. We can be totally flexible. And don't forget to send us your Hawkeyes, and we will get to those as well in the next week. So until then, I'm Marima.
And I'm Danya.
And this was Hero Hype, Lucky 13.
Yeah.